Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 199. 199. Wow. Yes, we are next on stop for the Caffeination 200, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We just want to give you a ton of great content for you today. We have a fantastic amount of things to talk about. We're going to hit any and all of the following topics. We're going to talk about Apple, Macworld, the MacBook Air MBA, Steve Jobs, origami, Legos, asteroids, and coffee, of course. I have a fantastic amount of cool things to talk to you about today, so hopefully you're going to enjoy all what we're going to be throwing at you here. This is the 16th of January 2008, and we are on episode number 199. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com, blubrry, and the Caffeination, last but certainly not least, is a Puzzle Piece production. So this is kind of a strange episode, because I didn't want to, fire the guns off too quick, didn't want to get too excited about it, but you know what? The heck with this. 199 is only one number off 200. I am just as excited about every single show that comes out there. Hopefully what I talked to you about a couple episodes ago is still true. Every episode you hear the Caffeination podcast, I want to be the best episode that you have ever heard. So we're going to keep striving for that. So 199 beats the heck out of all the rest that you've hopefully heard. And we're going to keep going with this. A little bit more links up to the Tech Podcast coverage of CES and Macworld. You can head on over to the link we have in the general information section. We have an interesting little contest that's going off in a couple days, so this is your last chance to hear about it in case you haven't heard already. We are going to be doing a 2-and-2. Basically, we celebrated our second year in podcasting on the 9th of January 2008, and we are celebrating our 200th episode on the 20th of January 2008. So in honor of that, we have a little swag we're going to be giving away a pound of fresh roasted coffee, if you like coffee. If you don't, we can work something else out. We're also going to be giving away a Apple training thermos and travel mug, as well as some apple cider that we had donated to us from one of our listeners. And we're going to be hopefully adding to the bag of swag for other stuff that we're going to be giving away in the future. So to enter for this fantastical bag of goodness, then all you have to do is send me an email to caffeination@gmail.com. And the only requirement, really, is that you use the term episode 200 giveaway or episode 200 contest as your email subject line. You should thereafter get a confirmation email back from me saying thank you very much for listening and you have been entered. We will be accepting admissions for the prize right up until the beginning of the show. So as soon as I hit record and you hear the beginning of that little Mario theme music that I did at the beginning of the first show, then you're going to hear, it's all going to be closed. We're going to put them in a hat, pull out the names. It's going to be all kinds of fun. By the by, if you'd like to see a really bad picture of the actual prizes that we're going to be giving away, sans the coffee, because it hasn't yet been roasted, of course, then you can head on over to caffeination.com and check the show notes out. It says bad picture of the prize. I use the webcam that's on top of my PC, which is incredibly bad. This is a really crazy cool place where we are in the podcast right now. I can't believe every time I throw down the three digits, I can't believe that we actually have three digits. It used to be this is Caffeination 001. There was two zeros. The leading zeros never really made sense, but in my mind they were kind of like a promise. You know what? We are going to hit that time when we hit 100. We are going to make these three digits, ring loud and true. And one day, you know what? We're going to hit 4. So if it took me 2 years to hit 200, I guess we got about, what, 4 more years, and then you're going to be hearing episode 1000. Yeah, that's right. We're already planning for the 1000th show. I don't even know what we're going to do for that. All right, like I said, I'd like to welcome all of you to the Caffeination Podcast. I'm in kind of a different world right now. because I have some of my old equipment back. I'm not talking about the mic or anything like that. I'm talking about my cans. I have been recording for the last, I don't know, maybe 70 episodes on a pair of Sony headphones. And you know what? They're really good headphones, but they're small. I have a big head. And I don't like the headphones that sit directly on your ears, and they kind of crushed in a little bit. So we are back to our tried and true method. And these are Sony's as well, but they're a little bit bigger, and they cover the entirety of the ear. So every once in a while, you might hear a little squeak. squeak, but hopefully not too much. We have a great episode lined up for you today, and all that's made possible by the sponsor we have here at the Cafe Nation. Yes, I'm talking about GoToMeeting. If you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever leaving your office. You're not only going to end up saving time, but money as well. You can see for yourself, try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. And if you'd like to see a demo of GoToMeeting, you know, without actually installing it or doing anything else like that, you know, just a demo of how seamlessly, you know, check out any of the tech podcast roundtables. You know, they're all really good content. They're all really interesting discussions. Specifically, I would suggest that you check out the Christmas edition because I was on it. But there's actually going to be a new Tech Podcast Network roundtable, a little roundup of CES and Macworld all rolled into one. It's going to be this Saturday, the 19th of January, 2008. So if you're listening to it after that, sorry, you can always head on over to techpodcasts.com and check it out. But you can head on over there. You can see a live demo. You can join in on the fun. It's going to be airing at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can do the rest of the math yourself. 1 p.m. Pacific time, I believe. So, you know what? It's really strange. The only problem with GoToMeeting, and this isn't even a problem with the software, it's a problem with the way that the world runs right now. I have so many different people that I talk to, I converse to, I interact with, both through Twitter and everything else online, that I can't keep time zones and dates straight in my head. I have one guy that, you know, I have a couple people I know of that listen to the show in Australia, and you know, it's already tomorrow today, and that blows my mind whenever I think about it. You know, just trying to plan for discussions with certain people, it's like it stretches the mind to a point where it's like, okay, it's 4 o'clock where I am, and I always feel a little bit rushed when I'm talking to people that are ahead of us, and I always feel a little bit, you know, held back by the people that are behind us. So you know what? I'm all for everybody using UTC here. We should all just go on Greenwich Mean, seriously, because you know, every once in a while it just catches me in one of those loops, and I can't plan for what I'm supposed to be doing. But just nonetheless, you know, that's neither here nor there. You can head on over to techpodcast.com this Saturday, and you can check out the roundtable that's there. You can join in the discussion on TalkShoe. You can do a whole bunch of cool stuff, and we'd heartily suggest you give that a shot. All right, now, first up here, we have a PodSafe Music selection from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. This is a fantastic new band that I found. So this is new content that you're hearing. This isn't just, you know, stuff that I'd found before and I'm revisiting other songs. No. This is the first time that these people were ever played on the Cafe Nation podcast. This is Echoing August, a really cool little band. You know, they list a bunch of different stuff on their influences that I kind of, you know, I can see it in their music a little bit, but just in general, it's a really good song. It's a really good, interesting stuff that's getting thrown down. They list the Foo Fighters, the Killers, and Toad the Wet Sprocket. So, I mean, you gotta love that kind of combination. So hopefully you're gonna enjoy this. Again, this is Echoing August with their song Radio, found on the PodSafe Music Network, but you can also head on over to echoingaugust.net and check out the band's homepage. So again, here's Echoing August with their song Radio.
She says it's cold outside, yeah, I'm wondering why I'm...
I don't even know. Keep in touch, alright, well, most of the time with friends of friends, you know. Did you grow? Life and a limelight. These are the days your mother might like. And don't give up on the radio. Well, it's times like these you ought to know by now. Says it's cold outside, yeah, I'm wondering why, and I don't even know. the dead's your father might try. And don't give up on friends you know. Well, it sounds like this you wanna know by now.
With their song Radio from the PodSafe Music Network and EchoingAugust.net. So we'd like to thank the PodSafe Music Network for continuing to provide us with some awesome music there. It's kind of a nice little mellow song, but you know what? I'm not feeling mellow right now. I need to find some more stuff that kind of pump me up after the episode's done, because you know, I'm just in a really good place right now. I feel really great about a lot of the stuff that we're doing here at the Caffeination Podcast. And you know, I wanted to take a second just here to welcome all of our new and returning listeners, and thank you all for coming and attending this wonderful performance that we have going here. All the new listeners, hi, welcome to the Caffeination Podcast. If you're listening to it on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network or any other place that you might have found it, then, you can find it at www.caffination.com. So, and if for all of our returning listeners, the repeat offenders of the Caffeination, then thank you very much for continuing to join us as often as you can. So you know, it's a wonderful place to be associated with everybody out there, to connect with the people. And if you'd like to connect, please feel free to send an email to caffeination@gmail.com. And I just realized somebody actually told me they clicked on one of the links on the homepage, one of the ads that we have on the side. Now, I'm not always privy to the different ads that are actually running there, especially under the Google AdWords. I mean, everything goes to eventually supporting the podcast. So if you wanted to, you could click on them if there's something that interests you over there. And usually they're very relevant and everything. But there was one to a service called MediaFly.com. And so apparently the listener clicked on it and then searched for the Caffeination Podcast, and it wasn't in there. The only reference to the Caffeination Podcast was, for some reason, a link from the PodcastPromos.com. And it was labeled explicit. Now, this is a clean show. All of the tech podcasts are child safe, family friendly. You can listen to this stuff in the car with your kids and not have to worry about it. That's what tech podcasts means. I mean, it's great tech news, and it's relatively G to PG rated. I mean, so I was a little upset with it by the explicit tag, first of all. And then I stopped for a second. I was like, you know what? I'm even more upset that they don't have my show in there. So I added it in. If you find any of the directories online, you find out that Caffeination's not in there, please feel free to drop me a line, caffeination@gmail.com, and I'll gladly head on over there and fix that problem. I don't know why. I did a couple little searches for some different shows, and some of them were in there, some of them weren't. Maybe they're a new service, I'm not really sure, but hey, We have a fantastical amount of tech cruft for you today. That's all the different little bits of information that were floating around the net. I collected them all, and I'm serving them up to you lovingly here in one small little package. We have the Mac attack leading right off the bat. Now, in case you didn't know, there was a fantastic little gathering out in California recently called Macworld. Actually, it's still going on from what I understand right now. But everybody's always tuning into the Steve Note. It's the Steve Jobs keynote address. Basically, this thing takes around 90 minutes, and you can live blog it anywhere. You could go to Engadget, Gizmodo, any of the other ones, and check back and refresh the page and give them zillions of advertising dollars just by refreshing the eyeballs on the page. But no. It takes a little too long, and I got to admit to you, this year I was not excited about any of the rumors I heard. I was like, the only rumor that I heard, of any kind of substance was the fact that they were going to release a really ultra-thin laptop. I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting, sort of. I mean, I've seen laptops that are really thin. I've seen laptops that are small. So if you find one that's, smaller and svelter and cooler and all that other stuff, it's exactly what I would expect from Apple. And nothing really is jumping out at me like an iPhone, or nothing's, coming out and smacking me upside the head like the iPod did or anything like that. So if you wanted basically the rundown for what they got going, over at Mahalo.com, in the first link in the Caffeination TechCraft section, it's the Steve Jobs 90-minute keynote in 60 seconds. So the video is a minute and 30 seconds long, first of all, because you have the intro by Veronica Belmont, and then you have the outro and everything else like that. They just cut Steve Jobs up, sped up a couple little parts in the middle, and they give you the long and the short. They boiled the entire presentation down to 60 seconds. It's a fantastic video. You really have to head on over there and check this out. I don't know what else to say other than, this is exactly what everybody should have produced right after the fact. You didn't need to read the transcript. You don't need to see who he pulled on stage or anything like that. You just need the long and the short of it. And you know what? This is the short, and I highly suggest that you head on over there and check that out. Let's see what else we got. One second. Apparently, in the middle of this Steve note, Jobs said, people just don't read anymore. So Engadget's having a little bit of fun with that. They said, basically, if people didn't read anymore, what's up with the blogs? Because, you wouldn't be reading this. And then his entire thing was, his entire problem was that apparently people in the United States, 40% of them read less than one book per year last year. So it's kind of strange, but I guess I can understand where he's coming from, but I think it was a little bit off base. For instance, I read a couple books a week, and yeah, they're children's books, but I read them to my son. I'm not going to be showing him a laptop and having him watch TV all the time, because he needs the interaction. He needs to be able to understand what the words are on a page. If you're going to try and take the books out of people's mind, and basically this, sorry, it wasn't in the Steve note, it was actually to the New York Times. It was on the Kindle, because the Amazon Kindle, sorry, I must have got my metaphors mixed up there, but basically he was talking about the Kindle, saying, I don't really think it's going to be anything more than a flash in the pan. But you know what, that's exactly what everybody said about the iPod. So just because you didn't think of this one little innovation doesn't mean it's not going to be fantastic down the road. The first iteration of the iPod was not all that everybody expected it to be. It was really good, and the Kindle's probably really good. But if you're not a reader, then you don't think anybody's a reader. So, I read all the kids' books, but I have other books that I engage in from time to time. It's just, I don't know. I think he should have just kind of calmed down on that one, and maybe just taken the high road and said, you know what, I'm not really sure, I haven't seen it. All right, next little thing we have up here is all about the MacBook Air. And yes, it's the ultra slim, ultra tiny MacBook. It's like a 13-inch screen. Here's my problem with it. And yeah, I know everybody's probably already gone over these over and over and over again. Yes, it's small. Yes, it's thin. It's probably not very powerful. But my problem is the price point for what you're giving up. I like being able to switch out a battery in my laptop if the battery goes bad. I like to be able to switch out a battery in my laptop on my own just for fun. If I'm traveling on a plane and I'd like to have more than one charged battery on hand just in case I happen to watch a DVD or something. Oh yeah, wait a minute, you can't even watch a DVD on this. There's no drive. I mean, yeah, I can understand that, and there's only one USB port. Apple pioneered the use of FireWire, and they seem to be systematically removing it from every machine they make now. You can't use FireWire on the new iPods. You can't use them on the iPod Nanos, any version of them. So, yeah, it's ultralight. Yeah, it's small. But you know what? How much smaller do you need than a MacBook? I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a bunch of people out there who are going to love this thing. But, you know, it should have had a couple features. The first of which is it should have had more than one USB port. It should have had two. That's not a stretch. You know, you need one to plug the mouse in and one to plug the thumb drive that you're trying to work on. Two is like the bare minimum for any machine. In fact, every MacBook and PowerBook that's out there has two. It's not that hard, you know? It should have also had integrated 3G. If you're not going to put a... or even some kind of wireless WLAN or something else integrated into it, it needed to be a true road warrior machine. They could have teamed up with AT&T and said, you know what, we're going to sell a laptop that's branded to your service. I mean, yes, I wouldn't be able to buy it because I'm on Verizon, but that's fine. I mean, I'm not getting it anyway because it's $1,800 for a laptop that has significantly less functionality than the last one. I have a MacBook upstairs. I love it. It's a great machine. Don't get me wrong. But the problem is I'm not going to be spending that kind of money on a smaller, less functional version. So I don't know if anybody else out there feels the same way, but I just kind of had to get it off my chest, wanted to weigh in on the situation, you know. I have another article up there just for a link or just for an explanation because I've had a couple people both in work and at home ask me about this. iTunes and Apple TV's rentals and purchases. What does it mean for everybody? So Engadget has a fun little chart posted up there. It says, what can you do? The only part about it that I wanted to kind of read, it says, can you transfer anything to a non-Apple device? On iTunes on the desktop, no. And Apple TV, the PC free one, it says, are you high? So I kind of like that little bit of social commentary there in the middle. But basically it tells you the yeses, the nos, and the how fours for everything. By the way, ATV is Apple TV and their little abbreviation. Everybody's abbreviating everything. We got the MacBook Pro, the MVP, then you have the MBA, the MacBook Air, and then now you have the ATV. And so it's like, the thing is, MBA... everybody's going to already think you're talking about a master's, you know, a business degree. When you're talking about an ATV, you're going to think you're talking about a quad. You know, again, another computer term that's seeping into other thing. But they're going to think you're talking about an all-terrain vehicle. You know, the next thing they're going to do is find some way to use SUV in a product name, and then they're going to try and refer to it as that. So I don't even know. All right, and then the next little thing that we have here is every time there's a Macworld, somebody finds some kind of a bug in the system, or you know, it's the first time a virus was discovered on a Mac in years, and okay, fine. Apparently, there's a kind of software out there right now that's a bit of malware for Macs, believe it or not. And this is found over at Slashdot. It's the first rogue cleaning tool for the Mac. Basically, it's a tool that, you know, it's a malware. It doesn't do what you expect it to do, and you don't want to infect your computer. It's called Mac Sweeper. So for anybody out there, this is the Mac version of the PC software Cleaninator. And apparently the Macs are approaching the critical 10% market space in which things start to happen to you. Firefox was perfect and awesome in like every possible way up until it hit roughly 10% of the market, and then you know what, people started taking notice and people started gunning for it. So Macs are just a large enough part of the population at this point where people are going to start doing this. And then I love the sentence they have at the end of this, and even the author said this is awesome. This is posted from a guy from over at F-Secure, awesome site, by the way. I visited the MacSweeper.com website. I know I probably shouldn't have, but I used a Windows PC, so I knew I wouldn't get infected. That is the perfect sentence because every Mac user has said that about any kind of PC. Oh, I don't need antivirus. I'm not a PC. I can go to whatever site I want. I won't get infected. Now you have to watch out about that one and anybody who decides to embed it on their website. So it's kind of cool. Just thought I'd pass it along to everybody out there. And that about wraps up the Mac attack section. It's all the little bits of news that I think you might want to know about. You might not have heard. But I definitely heartily suggest you check out Mahalo's 60-second Steve note. And, you know, the rest of the stuff, if you so choose. Let's see what else we got here. All right, now the next little thing here, this is apparently at CES. This is a new little gadget that I hadn't seen before, and everybody is now talking to this. It's kind of like one of those things that slides in after the obsession with flat panels is over. By the way, if you're in for Not Safe for Work or Not Safe for Kids kind of content, you head on over to Penny Arcade. Just do a Google search if you've never heard of it before. They have a fantastic little blog post right now about CES, basically, that says if you want to go to CES, you better love yourself some flat panel TVs, because that's pretty much all that is everywhere. And you know what? I've seen a lot of it. It's kind of sad that it turned into kind of a TV game show or a TV show, basically. Everything's about TVs. So, but this is a fun little device that I really think is an awesome idea. It's called a photo finder, and it reminds you where you took your pictures. Basically, it's a little GPS transceiver. You take it with you when you're out taking pictures and everything else like that, and it has the time that you're, you know, on it. So it has a tiny little clock inside it, and it has a GPS receiver, and it basically data logs where you went. Now, it's not Big Brother or anything else like that, but what you do is you slide your memory card from the camera into it, and it syncs up the timestamp on your photo with the GPS tracking coordinates of where you were, which is a great idea. And so, you know, you can use it with all kinds of different things. It's $99, which is a little steep for me, but you know what? Eventually, I'd love to get my hands on one of them. So basically, you can use a photo finder software to connect to Google Maps, Flickr, Panoramio. I don't even know what that one is. And so basically, you can take it and you can, like, geotag every picture that you have. It's a great idea. I'm surprised nobody's thought of it before. And, you know, kudos to the guys who made this. This is an unbelievable idea. Somebody's going to build it into a camera. That's the next step here. But I'm fine to have the second separate device right now. I mean, this is like carrying the camera around and the cell phone. You know, this is the precursor for somebody going to buy this company, build the technology in. The only thing I hope is that the technology eventually gets small enough that, you know, they can actually build it into a tiny little camera. But, you know, it's a great idea, and I'm glad somebody came up with it. Now, the next little thing here, we have something we have something here at the Caffeination Podcast about toasters. I don't know why, but I always think that there's a lot of innovation in some of the toasters, that there's a lot of interesting stuff that comes out from time to time, and this is no different. This one's from TrendHunter.com, the $300 toaster. This is a Russell Hobbs-designed crystal toaster. Yes. It has I don't even know. It has really expensive crystals in it. So it's $300, 200 crystals, and you know what? It makes toast. You got to see the little plug that they have here for it. It says it's a toaster. It's a limited edition toaster by Russell Hobbs. It makes toast. It has a cord and a plug. It's really pretty. Oh, yeah, and it has a setting so you can have light toast or darker toast. I mean, you don't get much more clean and clear and crisp than that. So I just thought it was fun. Thought I'd pass it along to everybody out there. All right, now the next little thing we have up here, again, still in TechCruft, is this story is probably false, but I still had to put it out there anyway before it disappears. Microsoft does really follow up on all of their trouble tickets that you have out there. So this is a story that's circulating the net right now, but apparently some blogger is claiming that Microsoft tech support called back to check on a 10-year-old blue screen of death trouble ticket. Apparently the guy put in the date of 1808 instead of 1898. Microsoft told Computer World support cases are reviewed regularly so that we can ensure we're resolving customer issues in a timely fashion, regardless of callback commitments set by the agent. Nonetheless, no system can ensure complete accuracy. So they're saying it is possible, but they haven't checked up on it yet. The veracity of the claim has not yet been verified. But still, it's kind of cool. I think it's interesting, and you gotta love Slashdot's little picture of Bill Gates with the little Borg thing. It's been on there for years. I just every once in a while I see it, and it just gives me a little internal chuckle. I actually doubt it. I doubt this happened because, you know, it would seem to be a little bit odd. I mean, we use a ticketing system in work, and you know, I'm pretty sure you could set the callback date well in the future, but it would still show as an open ticket. And I know, at least in our system, if you have open tickets, I mean, even if it's a ticket that you have scheduled for well in advance, you know, the manager on duty just, you know, pops you a little email at the end of the month and say, hey, guess what? These are the tickets that are open. I'm pretty sure in the past 10 years, Microsoft has probably had some kind of system like that in place. So, you know, believe it or not, it still makes a pretty good yarn to spin. Let's see what we got next here. Oh, yeah, this is a fun new instrument. I mean, how often do you say that, hey, there's a new instrument out there, you know? This is called the beat bearing. Imagine a checkerboard where instead of spaces, there's actually circular metallic holes where you would put a ball bearing. And imagine a scanning line that goes across the entirety of this thing. And instead of, you know, for the backing on it, it's a clear plexiglass. So what I mean by a scanning line is, you know, imagine the Knight Rider thing, you know, going back and forth. And then you take that and you just have a line running, kind of like a constant metronome going across this thing. And as it intersects each one of the metallic rings, it will make a sound if there's a ball bearing in it. So if you head on over to Engadget.com, you can actually check out a video of this, and it's really, really cool. I mean, basically, it's like a performance art synthesizer. So as you drop the little ball bearings into the holes on each one of the four rows, it actually makes a different sound. So it makes like a beat sound, it makes like a ding, a cowbell sound, and kind of, I don't even know what to describe the other one as, but it's really cool, really neat, and I kind of hope that they build a longer one so they can just, you know, sit there and have like one or two people on either side, you know, having this whole big performance art piece. I think it would be a fantastic, neat little idea to do an entire song programmed on this synth to where you drop the ball bearings and pick them up and you just go around rearranging them. It's the ever-changing musical score. It reminds me a lot of a program that I used to have on my computer called EJ. Basically, it was like a precursor to GarageBand where you could drop little sound effects in there and it would, the little line would go across and play whatever sound effect you had. So this is like the same thing, but it's actually a physical, tangible version of that. So I thought it was pretty cool. Next little thing that we have here, talk about innovation. How about hand-sculpted rubber band guns? Now, I had one. I actually have had a couple. I even had one of the double-barrel shotgun varieties. But Anthony Smith from the UK, those crazy Brits, has made, and you know what? Actually, something just occurred to me. A lot of the British press says that, you know, Americans are obsessed with guns. I don't want to hear anything about that after this. Anthony Smith, has completely thrown that assertion on its side. Unless, of course, he's an expatriate and actually, you know, was an American and moved over there. But still, he is a 24-barrel tripod-mounted monster. There's two electric screwdrivers driving the barrels of this Gatling gun rubber band gun. There's a video of it up there on the Engadget site. It's a 40-round-per-second firing capability, 288 band capacity. So you could seriously walk into the office and just take out like a row of shelves with this thing. It's pretty cool. You gotta see the video to see it in action. And this is hand-carved, so he apparently built this all in his spare time, and he must have a lot of it just to load the thing. It looks like it would take hours. So, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things, the original RC cars, or not the original ones, but the ones that were around when I was younger. You had to charge the battery for 8 hours for 15 minutes of drive time. So, it probably takes him like 45 minutes to an hour to load the thing, and you could probably unroll it in, and it says 40 rounds per second, so you could probably unload it in about 5 to 10 seconds if you were, you know, doing the little burst fire mode. But still, I just thought it was pretty cool. Again, thought I wanted to show everybody out there. And, hey, so this wasn't an American invention. I feel a little bit better about that. Now, the next thing we have here, again from Slashdot, is really cool. I mean, I don't know about you, but my science projects in school, I mean, younger years, you had the volcano, you had the solar system. Not really science projects, but everybody did them. In high school, I teamed up with one of my friends, and we actually did an artificial intelligence science project. Basically, a report on it still, but, you know, we had a couple different examples of fuzzy logic AIs and different things like that, and I thought that was pretty cool. It was very innovative. We actually won the science project in our school, or we actually won our section of the science project in our school for computers, but that was pretty cool. That was my senior year. I felt a little, you know, pretty good about that up until I read about this. This probably wasn't even a science project. It's probably something they did in class. But Racine Prairie School was given the opportunity to use a telescope in New Mexico and belonging to a college in Michigan that they controlled over the net. So, I mean, so they're in Wisconsin, and Racine, Wisconsin. They use the telescope, which sits in New Mexico. The telescope belongs to people in Michigan. They controlled everything online, and they found an asteroid. Yes, they found a new heavenly body that's upstairs, and apparently they get to name the asteroid in about 4 years. What? I don't understand that part. I mean, that's the only part of the story where I was like, I was with them up until that point. I said, okay, yeah, that's really awesome. That's really cool that they had that kind of discovery. I mean, scientists, go their entire lives trying to find different things, discover something new. I know at least in archaeology, it was fantastic to be able to, pull that one thing out of the ground that nobody's seen in the past 1,000 years or so. And you pull a tiny little piece of stone tool out of the ground, like an arrowhead or something, and you look at it and go, man, the last time somebody saw this, it was like 3,000 years ago. Nobody has ever seen that asteroid before. So these kids found something that nobody has ever seen before. It's fantastic. But they have to wait 4 years to name it. I could come up with a name right now. We're going to call it Rocky. But, I mean, seriously, I don't understand it, but I still thought, it was an interesting enough story to pass along. All right, next little thing we have, two little quick things from mopo.ca. It's Master of the Painfully Obvious in Canada. It's geek fan service, that's what I'm labeling this. Two very geekish hobbies that have very geek-like results here. If you'd like to find out what an origami Yoda looks like, yes, there's two pieces of paper which are apparently folded into the shape of the Jedi Master Yoda, and then on the second little thing that we have there is actually a complete recreation of the Stargate out of Legos. Gotta love Legos, right? And I know we have a lot of Lego crazy people who listen to the show because we get lots of good feedback every time we feature a story. I also know my buddy Jimmy's probably going to end up trying to build something like that. He might end up actually trying to build the other side of the Stargate. Now, if it actually works in his basement, in his bedroom, then I'm going to really be worried, but still. All right, now, just flat isn't just for Apple anymore. Now, I've seen something like this in the past, and I thought it was pretty cool at the time, but, in light of the whole thing that's coming out with Apple right now, I thought I'd pass it along here. This is from the Web Urbanist. It says, the most creative furniture for cramped urban living. 20 pieces of ingenious quote-unquote flat pack furniture. So basically the idea behind this is you take like a sheet of cardboard or plastic and you etch lines in it. So you cut little holes that are kind of like the old dinosaur models that you used to get that came in like the one sheet of plywood. You punch out the little pieces, fit them together in the little slots, and it turns into furniture as opposed to a dinosaur or an airplane or something like that. So, I mean, I've seen examples of this like wall systems where people built entire houses out of sheets of plywood that were pre-cut. So I just thought this was awesome, thought I would pass it along to people, because some of the stuff that they have here is unbelievable. Like, they have an entire house, like a tiny little house, built out of flat pack stuff. They have a desk set. They have, ottomans, chairs. Actually, we used to have a camp chair that they have something very similar that looks like this. Our camp chair was 2 6x2s? Yeah, 2 6x2s with a little hole cut in the middle of one and a peg cut in the middle of the other. So you put the two together and sit down, and if you felt like carrying two pieces of wood around with you, you had a seat for anywhere. So some of this stuff's really interesting. A lot of it's really like smooth designed, and it's all coming out of, flat but cut sheets of MDF, plywood, and all other kinds of different materials there. So just for your amusement. All right, now the next little thing we have here, and the last little bit of tech cruft, as the case may be, is weapon sculptures. Yes, decommissioned weapons, basically, handguns, rifles, and any other kind of armament that you can imagine, after they've been quote-unquote destroyed, they're being turned into fine art. The only strange thing about this is that these are actual military weapons, so they're made up of some of the 125,000 weapons seized and destroyed by the Cambodian government after the 30 years of civil war. So it's quite possible that your little sculpture has helped to kill someone. And it's in kind of that aspect that I took a step back and said, yeah, well, it's really cool. It's a really neat use of the materials. I'm a little bit superstitious, and I've seen ghost hunters. I've seen, you know, say, oh, well, you know, sometimes people's memories are attached to items. I don't want to put a fun little sculpture of a dog or a monkey or something like that in my living room, come downstairs and see a Cambodian soldier camped out behind the sofa. So I don't know about anybody else, but I think I would pass on buying one of these, even if they're relatively cheap. You can't deny the artistry involved, but it just kind of freaks me out, the history attached to them at the same point in time. I mean, if maybe it was going for some kind of, like, benefit for the people in Cambodia, I could see that on one hand, but I don't have any more information about that. But still, it's just kind of weird. And that about wraps up the Tech Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have a couple little bits of caffeine and food, and then we're going to head you on your way. Just wanted to remind you, of course, in case you didn't know, this was the Caffeination Podcast. And, you know, people ask me often, why do you say that in the middle of the show? I've been listening to the show for this long, and, you know, why would you do that? Well, there might be people listening to a streaming version of this, and you come in halfway through, and they like what they hear. Thank you very much for sticking around if you did. And, you know, there's a stream over at TechPodcast.com. There's a couple other streaming services out there. So if you happen to pick up this podcast midway through, you are listening to the Caffeination Podcast, episode number 199. We are currently recording this live to hard drive on the 16th of January 2008. And if you'd like to find out more about the show, you can head on over to caffeination.com. That's www.caffeination.com. And, you know, all comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else you'd like to send our way, caffeination@gmail.com. And then we have our little bit of caffeine and food, and then we'll, like I said, we're going to let you head out on your way. A couple episodes ago, we talked about something called, I need to figure out exactly what this thing was, because I saw it, and I need to figure out exactly how many different parts of it there were. But Starbucks has the most expensive coffee, and everybody's all talking about this, and they're just like, oh yeah, this is the most expensive coffee out there, and it's like, $13.76. And, here it is. It's a 13-shot venti soy hazelnut vanilla cinnamon white mocha with extra white mocha and caramel. So this contraption is the most expensive thing that you can get at the already expensive Starbucks. And apparently it tastes like poop. And not just like talking about the poop that we're going to talk about in a little bit, but no, it tastes like crap. It's not a very pleasant taste, to say the least. However, it does apparently taste good if it's frozen. And this is just from the myriad of different blog postings that I've seen. And the funny thing is here, there's some kind of a weird competition that's growing. I've seen a couple different blogs that have posted about this, and it's kind of like a right of passage to a certain extent, where people are saying, yes, I am a real coffee aficionado, although there doesn't really seem to be anything about coffee in that entire massive thing. I know 13 shot means that there's probably 13 shots of espresso, but you could never tell what exactly is in there. But So apparently there's this massive amount of stuff that goes in there. It doesn't even taste good, but there's a lot of bloggers out there, you know, kind of as a rite of passage. The one guy suggested that everybody go out there, get this thing, then scan their receipt, and you get bonus points, as the case may be, if you get it for free. So basically, if you have a gift certificate or something else like that, so if somebody else paid for it for you, then you get bonus points. Now, there's a Starbucks on the campus where I work, and I've never been tempted to actually go get this thing. When I go into Starbucks, I ask for one thing most of the time. I ask for a black coffee, a medium or a large black coffee. I try and refuse to use their strange little their verbiage that goes in there. I'm not a real big fan of Starbucks coffee. I mean, it's very bitter for my taste, and I don't really think it's a good cup of coffee in general. But I don't understand that. Is this one another example of the conspicuous consumer? Is this an example of somebody who needs to be shown that they spent this much money? I don't understand it. It's kind of like the people who buy the Louis Vuitton bags, except you can't walk around with your receipt attached to the cup and say, hey, look, I bought this. You know, all I needed was for one person to tell me, hey, guess what? There's a drink that's $13.76, and it has no alcohol in it. And you know what? I'm done. You know, if a drink's that big, it better be like shaped like a fishbowl, and it better have some kind of gummy stuff in it. The most expensive drink I've ever had, I think, was in Vegas, and it was like $15 for something that was almost the size of a punch bowl. And there were, it was blue, and there were little gummy sharks swimming in it, and it was called a Shark Tank. And I've had a version of it at a different bar that was only $5, but still, that's the most expensive drink, and the only reason I was willing to pay that much is because it had alcohol in it, and I was sharing it with somebody else. But still, I'm usually a very simple, very plain guy. I'm a Scotch guy. I'm a coffee guy. So it's this is a little bit beyond me. And I didn't understand the obsession with spending that much money. Now, here's another strange thing that I've seen floating around. Every once in a while, somebody sends me a link to the Kopi Luwak coffee. And it always has different titles, and some of the times I actually end up reading the articles. Kopi Luwak coffee is basically, there's a kind of cat called a palm civet that lives where you would get coffee. And the palm civet has a lovely habit of eating the coffee cherries. And after it has finished doing what things do after they've been eaten, it passes the coffee bean at the back end of the civet. And then, of course, they are washed, steamed, and roasted, and you drink that coffee because they only pick the most wonderful of coffee cherries. So, that being said, this is incredibly expensive. Some of the times it's gone for as much as $300 a pound, depending on, I guess, the variety of coffee that the cat was eating at that point in time. And I just see so much of the coffee news lately surrounding the coffee, the really expensive coffee that's at Starbucks, and surrounding just a couple other very core stories that I got to admit, I'm a little bit disappointed. For a while there, we had a lot of really good content coming out. So if anybody finds any fun coffee content, please feel free to send it to caffeination@gmail.com. I want more something new to talk about here. And this, however, is new from over at ineedcoffee.com. One of the authors over there, Stephanie Mason, actually found a strange, different kind of coffee that is also all about excrement. There's apparently a bird called the Jakku bird has the same habit of eating coffee cherries and does the same thing with them. So people apparently did the same thing with those coffee cherries, and they collected them, cleaned them, and then put them out there, and they're around $12 a pound. So if you want to have a different kind of excrement coffee that's not quite the $300 a pound for the Kopi Luwak, then there you go. It's a fun little article. I highly suggest you head on over there and read it. It's at ineedcoffee.com. It's one of the featured articles this month. It's one of the ones that have recently come out. You'll also find one of the articles over there that I wrote. It's about the how to prepare coffee for guests, basically 5 quick tips. We talked about it a couple episodes ago, in case you're new. But still, just wanted to kind of pass that little tidbit along, and hopefully you find something interesting out there for me. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. We have a lot of interesting content that we're going to be hopefully being able to put out for the next show. But this has been a great show. I've enjoyed doing this. I've enjoyed spending this time with you. So thank you very much for listening to the Caffeination Podcast. Just remember, if you're listening to this on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, or if you just can't remember where you found it, this podcast lives over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on the Zune. You can find us on the Zen. You can find us just on your computer. You can email us at caffeination@gmail.com. You can find us at myspace.com/caffeination, twitter.com/caffeination. We're on pretty much every social media site out there. Seismic, Jaiku, Dig. I mean, it's pretty much everybody out there except for Skype. Skype, we are the Caffeination, because some other miscreant has Caffeination, and I haven't been able to find out who he is to get the ID. But still, the Caffeination to Skype, and you can leave a voicemail there, or you can dial our listener line at 215-240-1319, direct to voicemail, both sides. So enjoy that. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I really enjoyed having you all here, and I hope to see you again next time. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.